From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mock Report. It's the ninth day of November 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the federal child nutrition programs are up for renewal in Washington, D.C., and a California representative would like the GAO to make sure adequate safety measures are in place for school lunches. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. And then I'll tell you about the brand new Ag Masters program to be hosted at the I Hotel right here on campus in early December. Sign up now for that two-day event. Details later in the program. Hey, and don't forget, in 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast, and that it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago,
agricultural
on this Monday
programs
afternoon
are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Now in Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby December wheat at 520, a settlement price up 22 and three quarters. In Kansas City, December at 521 and three quarters was up 20 and three quarters. For the hard red and the harvest month in Chicago, July at 565 and a quarter, up 23 and a half cents. From the corn pit in Chicago, 386, the settlement price up 19. The March at $4 and a quarter, 19 and a quarter higher. May futures at 410 and a quarter, up 19 and a quarter. And July at 419, up 19 and a half. September contract $4.27, up 19 and one quarter. December corn next year at 436 and three quarters, up 19 and a quarter. Soy complex November beans 964 and a quarter, up 16 and a quarter. January at 972, up 17 cents. The November contract at 978 and three quarters, up 25. And December live cattle futures 84.95, a nickel lower on the afternoon. Feb's at 86.37 and a half, a dime higher today. And the lean hogs finished at $55.80, down $1.50. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, December contract $79.43, up $2 a barrel. January at $80.07, up $1.98. December ethanol at $1.91.5, 6 3/10 of a cent higher. Natural gas at $4.64 and 6/10, up 5 1/10 of a cent. The RBOB gasoline at $1.98 1/10, up 5 6/10. And heating oil, that's diesel fuel, at $2.06 4/10 of a cent, up 6 cents for the afternoon. Gold futures at $1,100.80. That's right, $1,100.80, up $5.70. The Dow at 10,213, just about 191 points higher. The U.S. dollar at 75.03, down 0.78. And the CRB index on the afternoon at 273.83 is up 4.39 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like this afternoon. It comes from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. He says tonight, mostly cloudy skies and a few scattered showers in the north and in central sections, Illinois, and lows will range from 42 in northwestern Illinois to around 50 in the south. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies, a few scattered showers then too. Highs will range from 54 in northeastern Indiana to 68 in the far southern parts of Illinois. And then a cold front on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday should slip through into Illinois and Indiana. That by the weekend. And that front, of course, could trigger a few more showers Saturday night and Sunday. But at this point, it does not look like much rain will fall, actually, with that front. Temps will turn cooler on Sunday into early next week. But a turn to unseasonably cool weather is not expected for next week. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. Time to check in on the agricultural futures marketplace. And Kurt Kimmel is with us this afternoon. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, another big day here in Chicago with the numbers up. Why did they move so sharply higher today?
Well, I think it was a combination of several factors all coming together at once. Outside influences was the main topic. We had crude oil up over $2 a barrel, the gold and silver sharply higher, the Dow sharply higher, the dollar lower, and I think these outside influences gave confidence to the investment side of the equation to come in to be a buyer. A lot of enthusiasm from the G20 announced they're going to continue to throw money to keep the world economies out of a recessionary status, so that gave some confidence to be an investor in raw commodities. Then, too, you look at the grain fundamentals. Corn harvest is expected to be 38% to 42%. I think a lot of trade does not feel that we'll be that far along as a nation. Also, too, we're seeing a little bit of a buying interest surface here as this corn crop is slow to come out, as end users are trying to gather some inventory here. They're not standing in line, and it's not firming basis up by all means, but there's some active interest. Then lastly, too, the longer-term weather maps have turned back into a wetter mode here as we go into next week, Todd.
Well, then, there are a couple of things we probably ought to discuss. Tomorrow morning, of course, USDA is due to release its crop production report. Do we think that USDA can have a very good handle on the size of this crop, on ear weights, on how much of the crop may still be out in the field by the time we get to January and the final report? What kinds of things do we need to discuss, and what can we dismiss offhand?
Well, it's about a two-hour conversation because there's a lot of things you look at and a lot of things up for debate, per se. The thing that really pops out in my mind the most was when we interviewed Joe right after the October report. And I know I've said this 1,000 times, but while I was on the way back to Bloomington, the thing that stuck out in my mind was he was really shocked or concerned or sort of going down the path of test weight, because I think at that time the light bulb came on that this crop's going to be harvested very wet. We all know what happens to corn when you dry it down from 30% on down. So I think that's going to be the key issue there. When you talk to producers, I'm hearing 250, 260 bushel corn out there. But when you dry it down from 30, 32%, that corn gradually is about 200 to 190 bushels dry. So we're losing a significant amount of this crop on dry down. So that's going to be the main theme. I don't know if we've got enough harvest data to address that issue in this report or not, but that's going to be the great debate. Now, whether we raise or lower production enough to make it an extremely bullish or bearish report, I don't foresee that. I would feel we'll probably be going down the conservative road in here and wait for the next round of data to make any dramatic moves if they do.
What do you make of the moves in the dollar for the day, and will it continue to have an impact?
Yeah, that's the main headline story with these countries wanting to continue down the same path, especially policy here in the U.S. and what they're doing spell weaker dollar. But you got to be careful when you talk dollar and the grains, corn and beans. You know, for example, since last May, the dollar index is down $10, 10 full points. Bean prices are down 75 cents a bushel, and corn prices are down 75 cents a bushel. So watching the dollar is not 100% of the solution. If the dollar was the key to corn and beans in general, we wouldn't have a supply-demand report tomorrow. We'd just be watching the dollar index. But it's a key indicator. It's not the key indicator, but it's part of the equation. And the investment trade is watching the dollar, as we've all seen or heard or learned from the economics professor that, you know, purchasing power is a big factor in the price of commodities.
So here we are, and we've got December corn at $3.86. The deferred contracts are pushing above the $4 level, sometimes well above it, depending how far out you are. Is there anything a producer needs to think about doing at this point?
We're still promoting the same idea we have for here quite a while. I mean, we fine-tune the marketing plan as we go along because things do change. But for the most part, for those that have been sold up, we've used some replacement strategies to transfer ownership to paper. So if we do see some price rises in here, we can play catch up that way, sort of transferring the risk from actual physical ownership to paper ownership. And for those who didn't get priced or sold up, we're using strength in here to get caught up on that. Now, like today here, the basis widened out, and you know, we wouldn't want to sell on a wide basis situation, but you can come in and do some hedging and so forth and try to capture some basis gains. So there's a lot of things to do. It's a matter of finding some type of plan that sort of fits your individual needs in here. But we continue to believe that we're not going to see a $2 up or a $2 down in corn or a $5 up or a $5 down in beans. We feel we're going to continue to be up and down, and when you look at a price chart, remain in the sideways pattern we had for the last 3 months.
Were you impressed that the marketplace was able to rally as much as it did today and to fill the gap, actually, in that lead option corn contract?
Yes, we were surprised. If I knew this was going to happen, I would have told Dave earlier to buy, but I did not do that. Sorry, Dave. but, yeah, this is a shocker. It just tells us there's some underlying support there. The mentality is that as we go through harvest here, we'll see some harvest pressure come in. But it's going to probably be more so on the cash side of the equation than on the future side of the equation.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
No, just a dynamic marketplace. We'll see what the USDA report says tomorrow. Once those numbers are out, we feel the trade's going to start focusing back to day-to-day demand.
All right, thanks much.
Very good.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Well, don't forget to visit our website if you get the opportunity at willag.org. Be safe out there while you're harvesting this afternoon. Time now to close your eyes. Take a little nap if you get the opportunity. We'd like you to stay safe, and that's one of the best ways to do it. Here's Dave with the news.
In agricultural news, the effort has started to reauthorize federal child nutrition programs. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Blanche Lincoln, a Democrat from Arkansas, has scheduled a hearing on the nutrition programs for November 17th. Among those testifying will be USDA Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack. The child nutrition programs include the school breakfast, lunch, and snack programs, the Women, Infants, and Children's Special Nutrition Program, known as WIC, and some smaller food distribution programs. In recent years, there has been increasing concern about the content of food because of rising obesity rates in children. Meanwhile, the chairman of the House Education and Labor Committee wants an investigation into the risk of deadly E. coli getting into school lunches. Representative George Miller, a Democrat from California, is worried about a recent outbreak that killed at least two people and sickened more than two dozen others in 11 states. Miller has asked the Government Accountability Office, the investigative arm of Congress, to see whether there are adequate protections for school meals at the local, state, and federal level. He also asked investigators to compare the safety and quality of ground beef available to schools with the ground beef available to restaurants and other commercial buyers. A spokesperson from the U.S. Meat Federation today says that USDA has put a temporary hold on certifying newly processed beef for export to Taiwan as officials get clarification on the new rules, and beef exporters expect to have some answers soon. Last month, Taiwan announced it had agreed to a new protocol with the United States that would lift all restrictions on U.S. beef products. U.S. beef exporters agreed to restrict their shipments to beef from cattle under the age of 30 months during a transition phase that would last for at least 6 months, allowing exporters to then expand shipments to products such as short ribs, tongues, kidneys, and livers. The decision to allow more beef has sparked a political crisis for Taiwan's government, and a senior Taiwanese official has issued a public apology. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, reminding you that if you have not yet signed up for our weekend newsletter, you ought to do that before tomorrow morning. If you do and you fill in, or if you go in and manage your subscription at willag.org and you fill in your cell phone, tomorrow morning we'll text you those numbers from the USDA's latest crop production report. It's all at willag.org. In this case, you're going to want to hit subscribe or manage over on the right-hand side of the page for that newsletter. Give us your cell phone number. It'll send you a little text, and you'll send us back a confirmation along the way. And suddenly tomorrow morning, you'll have those numbers on your cell phone just not long after they come out. That, of course, courtesy of WILL and your Director of Ag Programming, Dave Dickey. Now up next, Illinois will debut a brand new agricultural conference in early December. I'll have more on the Ag Masters Conference right here in Urbana-Champaign. The University of Illinois invites agriculturalists to the 2009 Ag Masters Conference, which will take place December 1 and 2. It will be held at the iHotel Conference Center in Champaign, Illinois. The planners say scheduled speakers and topics will give participants the latest and most timely information about crop production and protection. U of I Professor of Crop Sciences Mike Gray helped organize the conference. He says topics for the two-day event will include a look at global agriculture, raising the yield bar, can we get corn to 300 bushels? Glyphosate resistance, from forecast of doom to management of actual problems. Gene stacks, refuges, and volunteer corn, reshuffling the deck on corn rootworms. How to interpret on-farm foliar fungicide data. Supply-demand factors in the global fertilizer market. Reducing nitrogen-related problems in the environment through 4R implementation. Nitrogen use by corn, how much, when, where, and why, and making sense of product claims. Gray says the first day of the conference will use a general session format designed to capture everyone's interest and stimulate discussion. The second day, and advanced sessions, will have a limited enrollment and feature instructors in a classroom setting, going over the latest scientific literature in specific biological and agricultural fields of study. Advanced registration fee for December 1 is $135. On-site registration is $175. The advanced registration fee for December 2nd, or the second day, is $235. Participants who pre-register for both days will pay $350. Each registrant will receive one copy of the 2009 Proceedings of the Ag Masters Conference. Continuing education units are available, including certified crop advisor credits and Indiana continuing certification hours. Registration and program information on the 2009 Ag Masters Conference is available online. Just search Google for Ag Masters. That's all one word. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a Monday afternoon. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Time to check the cash grain market today. On the line with us, Greg Johnson of the Andersons, right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Still bringing beans in bulk today?
Big weekend. Big bean weekend over the weekend. Finishing up today, there shouldn't be too many beans left standing in Champaign County, I wouldn't think, after today.
I would think that's probably the case. And as you got a look at them, did they yield very well?
Yes, they did. This will be a record. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this will be a record for Champaign County, probably by as much as 1.5 to maybe even 2 bushels off our previous record from 2 years ago.
And were they coming in at a pretty decent moisture, too?
Yes, these last ones, the beans were ready a couple of days before the ground was fit, actually. Farmers were hoping to get to the beans a little bit sooner last week, but the ground was just soft in a lot of places. So they almost had to wait till the tail end of the week, but when they did, bean moisture was 13% of maybe just a hair higher to somewhere down around 12% or so. So very good condition for these last few beans that came in.
And the trucks and the semis and the tractors and wagons all coming in with corn now, I take it.
That's the scary part, yeah. Now that we're finishing up with beans, everybody wants to do corn. And, you know, I've told people 100 times that, you know, we can take 500,000 bushels of corn in a day, but the dryers can only dry about 200,000 bushels a day. So we've got to get a little cooperation from Mother Nature and hope that this corn dries down. And with the kind of weather we had over the weekend, we did see it dry down about 2 points over the weekend. So that's good. That's good. We just need more of that.
Now, how far down are, and have we dried about 3 to 5 points over the last week, and how far down are we? 2 points over the weekend, I understand, but...
Yeah, and 5 points for the week, I think, is about right, 3 to 5. So, yeah, we're seeing some corn come in as dry as 18.5%. Most of it's still in that 21 to 23 range, and then every once in a while there's some June-planted corn that's still over 25%. But it's all drying down slowly but surely.
Dry weights are showing normal? Are they at 54, 55, 56? What kind of bushels?
The other way. Test weights for whatever, even though it's a big quantity crop, the quality's not the greatest. A lot of test weights are in the 52 to 54-pound range. And even when we dry it down, it picks up a little bit, but it's not picking up that normal 1 pound for every 4 points of moisture. It's more like 1 pound for every 5 or 5.5 points of moisture we're taking out of it. So it's a decent crop, but it's definitely not a superior quality crop and one that farmers are going to want to continue to watch if they put it in the bin. It's just not a good quality crop, and usually poor quality crops don't store very well.
Don't store well, and on the livestock side, they don't get quite as much push out of the poor quality crop. Diplodia, gibberella, any other problems that are out there? And are you seeing much of those?
Luckily for us, we're not seeing the gibberella. That seems to be an Indiana or south of Interstate 70 problem. And the diplodia was in the early April planted corn on corn especially. But this May-planted corn that we're getting in now doesn't seem to have very much. There's a little bit of damage in it, but nothing that people are getting discounted for. So hopefully that problem's gone away.
All right. And your bids for the day are?
With the big rally today, corn is now 364 out of the field, 383 for January. One to keep an eye on is next fall, 407. Beans are 957 out of the field, January 962, and next fall, 939.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Thank you, Todd.
You have a good day. Greg Johnson is with the Andersons, joins us from the Andersons elevator here in Champaign County. That happens each and every Monday afternoon. Back in 2 minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast here on Illinois Public Media.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. The former executive director of Champaign-Urbana's Public Health District has made his first appearance in court on 7 charges, including theft of government property, official misconduct, and misapplication of funds. Vito Palazzolo will be returning to court by November 19th to enter a plea on the felony charges after he hires an attorney. Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reitz says records show that between March and November of 2006, he improperly used a district credit card for coffee and meals on, quote, a very regular basis, amounting to thousands of dollars. $1,000. Palazzolo was also alleged to have taken cabinets belonging to the CU PhD for home use and agreed to repay student loans for a dentist being interviewed by the district without authorization from its board. The 53-year-old Palazzolo was fired in 2007 by the CU PhD. He could face 2 to 5 years in prison. The new interim chief of a Southern Illinois Veterans Affairs Hospital, where major surgeries have been suspended for more than 2 years, says he's confident lingering problems there can be fixed. But the founder and editor of VAWatchdog.org believes the VA system is too bureaucratic and the problems too entrenched to quickly fix troubles at the Marion VA. Larry Scott's comments follow last week's report by the VA's Inspector General detailing insufficient progress in cleaning up lingering quality management problems at the Marion Hospital. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin calls that appalling. Today, he and other Illinois federal officials plan to meet with the VA Inspector General. Indiana is offering state government employees a voluntary unpaid leave, but it's unclear how many workers might give up part of their paycheck during a recession to help the state save money. Governor Mitch Daniels announced the unpaid leave plan last week as part of a series of budget-cutting measures. State tax collections are $309 million below expectations during the first 4 months of the fiscal year. State workers who want to take unpaid leave can request time off, and it will be up to department supervisors to coordinate requests and make sure agency services continue. The Daniels administration doesn't have firm numbers of how much the state might save or how many of the state's 30,000 workers might accept the offer. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. Time now to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. On the line with us this afternoon is Mark Russo. He's at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Farmers want to know if they will be able to continue to harvest, and more importantly, whether this little disturbance will give them very much rain to stop harvest.
Yeah, with Tropical Storm Ida here in the eastern Gulf of Mexico, that poses no threat to harvesting across the Midwest. Some areas of the far southern delta are seeing moisture and rain activity via the system, but that is the only area, with the exception of the southeast, where there will be some harvest impact. But overall here, the pattern will remain open here for harvest progress over the next couple of weeks. So looks like another 2 weeks of open progress, and that is just due to this pattern, a lack of a cold air delivery into the nation's midsection, and along that, generally drier than normal conditions, with the exception of some sprinkles, light rain showers here and there, but no sign of any big storm systems on the horizon over the Midwest or Delta.
So when you say dry, and I guess I'm a little concerned about the dryness, corn, once it has frozen or once it's stopped in maturity, will simply pick up whatever the moisture level is, generally speaking, in the air. Will it be fairly dry?
Yeah, for with the pattern here coming up, all your Gulf moisture is suppressed. So as a result, that will keep especially the northern section of the Midwest with drier, or what we call lower dew points across the area.
No, excellent. So farmers will be able to continue. What kind of daytime temps will they be working with?
Well, overall here, we'll see high temperatures generally in the 60s and 50s up north, although in a few days, such as what we saw here over the weekend, we did have temperatures climb to the 70s. And that next potential of some 70s and more widespread 60s will be over the upcoming weekend again.
And day and nighttime lows during that period?
Yeah, nighttime lows primarily in the 40s.
So very good harvesting weather as we move through the end of the week. Next week going to call for more of the same, or we come back to more seasonable type temperatures?
Yeah, Todd, it looks like the same pattern remains in place next week, with the exception of a day or two where you do get a frontal passage and you cool back down to normal temperatures for a day, but then you shoot right back up thereafter. And again, that's your warmer than normal pattern here for the next 2 weeks.
Turn your attention to South America. They're still in the midst of their planting season in both Brazil and Argentina.
Brazil's in good shape at this time. They've had no issues of note here, and soil moisture is adequate across the vast majority of Brazil. Argentina, on the other hand, is struggling again with some dryness issues, 30-day precip deficits across the region, where while they're significant, it's not critically dry at this point, considering that planting is still ongoing across the region. But they're waiting for some rain across that area, and it does look like the pattern here coming up features rain activity primarily across the northern half of the Argentina corn and soybean belt. So some improvement primarily north, but we're not going to eradicate these dryness issues across Argentina, at least over the next couple of weeks.
Mark, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon. You have a good day. I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.